Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and as ever, I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And our guest for the show this week is Andy Cousins.
Evening.
You guys both well?
Very well, thank you. Yes, very well. Hard day at work, yes. And here tonight. So yeah, very good at the minute.
So your career, you played for Leeds, and then you had spells at Carlisle and Blackpool. But after football, you say a hard day at work. What is it you do nowadays?
I do a number of things, really. We've got a clinic which does revive treatment, which is IV hydration and intramuscular injections. So we have nurses who work for us from the NHS who come in and administer the treatments, and we basically run the clinic in that sense. So we've had a TV crew today doing a little bit, which has been quite good. I'm also a personal trainer as well. I've got my own personal training business, which is in the same building. So it kind of goes really well together, really. So it's a bit different every single day. We've got personal training clients, you know, then followed by somebody having an IV upstairs and followed by another personal training client. So it changes from day to day, which is good, keeps you interested, which is a good thing, really. So we, Revive's a brand which is worldwide. So we've got, we own part of Hong Kong as well, and there's clinics out in the States, out in New York, out in Miami, out in Vegas, and we've got them all over Europe as well. So, and then we've got three flagships in this country. So it's an up and coming kind of wellness side of things, and it's all to do with as I say, with an IV which goes in, which is all administered by an NHS nurse for our staff itself. It is very different, and it's very good. It takes away, you know, aches and pains. It takes away from allergies. It takes away, you know, all sorts of different elements which people might have. So we're helping hopefully a lot of people, and also people who are just working hard and training hard or partying hard and stuff as well. So it's all good. It's all good.
I guess within football, it's obviously a great thing to for aches and pains and that market. It's something you obviously must know a bit about.
Yeah, basically with WADA, it's a difficult one because they're only allowed to have 50 mil every 6 hours. We're giving you about 1,000 mil within about 45 minutes. So that's where the sticking point is. Our treatments are allowed for, you know, sports people, and all amateur sport could use it, no problems whatsoever. We do have professional sports people who do use it. Out in the States, for instance, it's very popular. But for this country and for the rest of Europe, it is a bit of a, not a dark area, but it's an area which WADA really don't want to kind of engage with us at this present moment in time. We do know that there's a lot of sports people out there who do have IV, who are, you know, recovering from the heat, from lack of fluids after tournaments or after runs or whatever it will be and stuff. So, you know, we do know that they're happening out there, and we're hopeful to be able to crack that door down and be able to administer these stuff, to the professional sport. But it's perfectly fine for the amateur sport, and it's perfectly fine for the intramuscular side of things. You know, we've got CoQ10 Plus, which we have, which is absolutely fine for any professional athlete who is out there who wants to use it. So it's, as I say, it's just a very new concept, and it's very much a line of trying to break down some doors, really, which have been there for quite a long time. They're all administered by doctors or nurses, and which is just saying the WADA kind of side of things. So it's we're on the lines of what we need to do, but it's for the professional sport, which is very wary of somebody being cannulated and having hydration put back in them, really. So but it is a door we like to try and knock and try and break down, really.
Okay. Can I just ask one more question? Obviously, what point were you thinking about a career or what you were going to do when you finished playing football?
Well, for me, it was quite an easy decision in one way. I was injured at the end of the season, and you know, things just didn't work out regarding getting a club at that time. I was at Blackpool, and we'd gone down, and Steve McMahon was the manager who wanted to get rid of everybody, really. You know, start with a clean slate. I got injured about 6 weeks before the end of the season, where things were starting to happen about, you know, where you're going to go next, what you're going to do. I had about 3 months then of kind of, I suppose, after the season and into pre-season, where I was going on trial at places. I was let down quite badly up at Hartlepool. You know, at the time, I was up there for about 3 weeks, I think I was there for. Everything was all kind of, yeah, get your agent to give me a call in the morning, we'll get something sorted. We want to sign you and everything else. So I got my agent to ring the next day, and we're still waiting for that return of the phone call of 6 or 7, 8, 10, 15, however many phone calls he made to the manager at that time. So you're getting more into the season at that point, and it's very difficult then to go into a football club and also get paid what you want to get paid, firstly, and be able to support the, you know, the family and what you're going to do. And then, you know, I kind of came out of football and I had a year when I was unemployed, I signed on and all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't a great time. And, you know, I got into personal training at that time. So I've been doing personal training now for 15 years. You know, and I've had my own business for, I think it's about 8 or 9, 10 years now. So I've had my own business doing the personal training side. So in a way, it was good to get out at the time I did. But in another way, it was obviously, you know, I wouldn't be doing the revised stuff if I was still in football for another 5 years and so on. So it's funny how life kind of sets you in that kind of way. And, you know, for me personally, it was, looking back now, I think it was a blessing that I came out earlier than it was coming out at 35, 40 kind of age. You know, having to find a career at that point to do something which, you know, was totally alien to you. But, you know, coming out at 26, 27, you know, for me it was an easier transition to be able to go in and find something to do which you could possibly, you know, make a career out of after football, really.
All right. Nick, have you got anything you'd like to ask?
Yeah, you say about, you got treated badly at Hartlepool. Could you sort of, I don't want you to slate the club too much, but just quite an interesting thing.
The thing with Hartlepool was, I went up on trial and, you know, I sat down with the manager and on the first day, and he just goes, look, what's happened? You know, we know of you, we know what you've done, you know, so on and so forth. And it was one of those conversations where I was brutally honest. I said, look, I'm not fit enough. I need games. I said, just don't do anything. Take any kind of notice of what my first week and a half is going to be like. But, you know, after that, you know, that's when I want you to kind of make sure that, you know, I'm doing the right things. And that's when you can kind of judge me, I suppose. So I played a couple of reserve games. I was playing for Harrogate Town as well, with Mick Hennigan being the manager there. He was at Leeds with me and Blackpool with me.
Okay.
I was playing there and kind of just trying to keep getting match fitness up. And then the second week, we had a game against Middlesbrough, I think it was, away. So I played in that, played really well. He came in, did the manager, and said, look, you know, we're quite impressed with what you're doing, so on and so forth. The next game we played was Newcastle again. It was like, you know, kind of a friend, and we got beat 5-1, I think it was. But I actually played really well in that game. And, you know, the one thing I remember from that game personally was coming off the pitch after, and Bobby Robson just came up to me and he said, well played. Best person on the pitch, blah, 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 blah. So
I think that is the definition of a storyteller
grandkids. Exactly. You know, it's something which, you know, you kind of look back now and you think that's fantastic. And straight after the game as well, the manager and the assistant manager came to me and said, look, you know, we want to sign you, we want to get something sorted. Can you get your agent to give us a call in the morning? And that's basically where it was left. So that was about three weeks into maybe about 5-6 weeks now into the season. And it was just left at that. And they actually signed my mate 2 days later. They signed Mark Pinkler listed 2 days later for £100,000 from Southend, who played that same position as me and things like that. So they paid £100,000 a month, like more money per week for things to come in and play. And Dick stayed there for the next 10 years and still lives up there and things now. And, you know, that's just football, I think. You don't realise at a young age, but it is just what happens, unfortunately, in the football world, where somebody will tell you something and then the next minute you find out it's sort of rubbish. You know, that's just kind of how it is, I think. I had it a couple of times in my career when I was leaving Leeds. And as I say, I suppose you kind of get used to that kind of happening, I suppose. It's a bit different now because players have got a lot more, players now have a lot more, what's the right word for it? A lot more player power now than there is, you know, idea. You know, the players have a lot to, you know, they can gain a lot from football very quickly. And it really annoys a lot of the old boys, I would say, because a lot of these kids don't have to do anything. They don't even appreciate what 40 games in the Premier League, for instance, myself, was like when they've put their own 25, 30 grand a week and they've literally only played one or two games. And it's, you know, I think now they need to do the apprenticeship. They need to come through and the money side, it needs to be brought back to reality of what football should be about and bring it back to that normal man's life, really. So it was a bit difficult up there, but it was just one of them things which happens, and I'm pretty sure it still happens now as well. So it's a tough world in football.
Absolutely.
They started off the season a bit dodgy, but it improved their form, won 6 of the last 9 games, won the last 2 games against Wolves and Burton Albion.
Yeah, we're playing decent football at the minute. We're playing, I think at the start of the season, you know, we got Gary Monk in 6 weeks before the season started. Great signing for us. I think, you know, everybody who knows football and who was in football said it was a great signing for us to have, you know, Gary Monk. And Matt Mocellino, to be fair to him, is, you know, love him or hate him. You know, and I'm not a lover of him at all. Like, you know, I disagree with a lot of things which Massimo has done down at Leeds. But, you know, Gary Monk was a really good signing. You know, I would have liked David Moyes as well, because that was nearly there as well, I believe. And that would have been a very good one as well. But, you know, Gary Monk is a young manager. He had nothing to lose coming into Leeds. Right philosophy in how he plays. He was allowed to bring his own staff in, his own players in, spent a few quid. You know, bringing some decent players in, you know, and it took us a little bit of time to get going. You know, I go quite a lot. I actually work down there on match days, and you know, it was hard to watch in the first couple of weeks. People thinking, well, I don't know, we're not playing as well as we should do, and then there was rumours about Chileno wanting that month, which I knew wasn't going to be the case, and things. And I think now that, you know, that little bit of loyalty and that little bit of, we know what he's plan is, we know how he wants to play. We've got Chris Wood up front who's scoring goals. You know, he's scored what, 22 in 42 games or something now. You know, last 2 seasons. So, you know, he's coming to the forefront. The only problem I see with Leeds at this present moment in time is if we get an injury with Chris Wood, then we're just not strong enough at that point. But certainly the start of the season, yeah, a lot of people think, where are we? You know, you look now, I think we're in 9th place now. You know, we're only a couple of points off the playoffs. You know, we're looking in a decent position. But we have got a very tough run coming up. We've got Norwich, Newcastle, Villa, which, you know, everybody would say that those 3 games in particular are huge. You know, we've got nearly 30,000 already sold for the Newcastle game at home. Which would be a massive game for us. And a bit like, but a bit like the old Premiership games, which it should be, really. But I think the big game now, you know, we all are looking in front. You know, Norwich got beat 5-0 on Saturday against Fulham. Surprising for everybody.
Against Brighton. I only picked you up on that because I'm a Brighton fan, which you'll probably hear about.
But, well, you know, Brighton, again, good team, second in the league. You know, but 5-0, you're just thinking, wow, where'd that come from? So they'll be on there, they'll be wanting to bounce back from there. But, you know, there's 3 massive games now, and I think the next 3 games for us, I think, really kind of puts our season to where we're going to be. If we win all those 3 games, then we will be in the playoff area, and Elland Road will be buzzing, and we will have, without a shadow of a doubt, we'll have 25,000 to 35,000 every single week. And it's a club which needs that, and it's a club which is not wanting that, but it's a club which, you know, they should be having them crowds every single week. It's a massive club, you know, and as I said, the next 3 games now for us are massive, and I think that it will kind of dictate what our season's going to certainly pan out to be for the rest of the season, really.
It is good to see Leeds in a good position. So over the years, it's not really been very fair on their fans. I mean, they've sort of they've just been sort of lower end table, and it's just not been very fun the seasons. And And they've had some good managers over the years, but no one really gets enough time there. And I think with Gary Monk, I think Cellino's finally sort of getting the hang of it. Gary Monk, superb manager, you said it yourself there. I think Leeds are in a good position now to actually kick on. And I'd say it's not a guarantee. They probably won't get a playoff, so we'll do respect, but there's no reason why they can't. I think you said it there, Chris Wood, he's going to be key this season. I think a player I always really rated, Chris Wood, you know, knows Championship well. I think give Gary Monk time, and I think Leeds can easily become Sheffield Wednesday and sort of head back into the playoffs sort of slowly. But
yeah, I think with Massimo Cellino now, I think that, you know, he's realised in the last couple of years that he can't chop and change, and I think that's quite a big thing. I think, you know,
yeah,
we had Steve Evans last year, which, you know, to be fair to Steve Evans, he did a job, but he wasn't right for us at all. You know, he did a job when he came in, which is the right job. He should have gone after the Brighton game when we lost away at Brighton last year, which was just the most pathetic performance I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was great.
You know, and there was nothing really which came back from that. You know, the Huddersfield game at home, the same thing last year. So, you know, for me, you know, we didn't have the right manager in charge realistically until now under Massimo Cellino's guidance. You know, we had Rosler, which I think he could have been given a bit of time, and potentially we could have had the same outcome from him. But the problem is we didn't have the players. You know, we've got a lot of good quality players. You know, we've brought the two centre halves, Pontus and Bartley, this year have just been immense, and a massive, massive bonus to us because the both are actually big leaders on the pitch. That breeds through. Pontus is just unbelievable. The guy is a lead player. He's a Vinnie Jones style. He gives you absolutely everything all the time. You know, and he is a colossal in there. So if we keep injury free, we get a bit of a run together, which is very easy in this league because anybody can beat anybody. But if you get a 5-6 game winning streak, then, you know, we can definitely push into that playoff place without a shadow of a doubt.
I just want to go back onto the defence. It was my next point, actually, because I think, you know, the two centre-backs have been outstanding. And also, when you look at their the wins that they've achieved this season, five of them have all been wins to nil. You know, yeah. I think that's so crucial as well.
Yeah, the back four, you know, the one place he's not messing around with at all, really, is the back four. Once he's got it set, he knows what he wants. You know, he's got Charlie Taylor, who's possibly the best left-back, certainly in the Championship, I would say. I think you've got Pontus in there as well, which, again, I think I would say that he is the best centre-back we have in this division, without a shadow of a doubt. He can play football. He reads the game very well. And also that helps then with the full-back. You know, you've got, you know, the full-back, you know, you've got Arlen coming from Bristol, who's played so many games for Bristol, who's just a steady Eddie again. You know what you're going to get from him. So, and it also gives a bit more height. You know, last year we were giving away silly free kicks, silly corners, and we were getting punished. You know, you had Phil Bambury in there and Belushi in there. And to be honest with you, you were absolutely, well, you didn't know what was going to come from them from week to week. They both thought they were Pele at the back with no organisation skills whatsoever. And every corner which came in, they just kind of backed out of it. So, you know, these guys will put the head in, they'll get hurt for the cause. And I think the league fans now are starting to realise that, you know, we could potentially, if we can keep these guys, we can have a bit of a push with it. And, you know, every team always comes from the back four, don't it? It comes from the back four, back five, and the keeper in your back four. If you get a solid base there, you're not shipping goals, which is what we did last year, and you're going to win 1-0, you know, the old saying in my day, you know, 1-0 to the Arsenal, you know, it won the Championship, you know. So if we can keep clean sheets, then, you know, we've got half a chance again of getting forward. And I think at the minute we do look quite strong there. And I think when we get, you know, the midfield's possibly a little light at the minute. But the midfield's coming good. You know, we've got some good young players coming through again. It's just that centre-forward situation. We just need a little bit more strength up there with Wood, if he does get any injuries. And I'd like to see, like, a Peter Crouch come in at Christmas, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, somebody like him who's done it, been there, done it, going to score your goals without a shadow of a doubt in that league and take a bit of a risk, really. So, but that's the interesting bit. For the back four, we look very solid. And those two guys in particular have shored up that defence. And as I say, Charlie Daly, he's got his head on now from what it was at the start of the season. I think he's heading to the Premiership. And I think that if we can keep those together, then I think we've got, again, we've got a good base then to push on for the rest of the season.
Just want to also mention, you're in the League Cup quarter-finals and game against Liverpool. I guess the cup run's also given a bit of spirit to the club as well. I guess that's raised the mood.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a pity we haven't got one of these nights at Elland Road, but it's a massive game indeed. You know, there's a chance to get through to the semi-final. Liverpool will no doubtedly put a weaker team out, but their weaker team is still a good first team for a lot of people. There'll be a full house down at Anfield as well. Great chance for the boys to go down and enjoy Anfield. It's one of the best grounds I've played at. It's an iconic stadium. Great atmosphere. The Scousers are always funny. And it's a good place for them to go. And yes, let's just hope we don't take the eye off the ball for some of the players who want to play in that game and keep the run going in the league. And then potentially then go to Anfield and hopefully, we can bring a bit of an upset to it, to be honest with you. I think we're going in with full of confidence. And there's no reason we can't. It's just a pity that we didn't get it at Elland Road because, there's no better night at Elland Road, a cup game under the floodlights on a Tuesday night in front of the Sky cameras. You get 38,000-39,000 at Elland Road that night, and it'd be a great atmosphere. Just because we didn't get that way, but it's one for the lads to look forward to, definitely, and a great chance for us to again to progress, because we're full of confidence at the minute. So it's a good one to progress to, really.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to us, and thank you to Andy Cousins for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football. You can follow Andy Cousins at AndyCuz23. Check out our website, v2football.com. It's good night from me.
Good night.
Cheers.